Dear ones, for this afternoon's meditation, let's turn with God's help and read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, the first 13 verses. Ljubezne za čitanje sa Božjom pomoću želim da pročitamo Evanđelje po Mateju 25. Glava 13 brojeva. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." May God bless our reading, and let us turn to our Lord in prayer.
With humbleness of heart, Heavenly Father, we come before Thee once again on our knees, realizing that we are but mere men and that we are in need not only of a Savior but a God that is gracious and merciful unto us. And so, as we have gathered again to worship, we pray that the truth might be told once again in this day, and that we, as we listen to the truth of the Word, that we would apply it to our lives as we understand it, realizing that praying that none here would be of the foolishness of some, as we have read about, but that we might be wise to understand the Word, to fill our lamps, and to depend upon Thee, to wait for that cry when the Word comes forth. For we know one day that the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and that we that are left behind will be caught up with Him to be forever with the Lord in the air. We look forward and hasten that day, Lord, but we don't know when, and so we will watch and pray. We will watch and pray until that day comes, that we might be ready, blameless, and ready to meet Thee, our God, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For those, Heavenly Father, that don't have this hope, we pray for them this afternoon, that they would grasp the meaning once again, answer the call that Thou art calling even again in this afternoon, to come and sup with Him, come and be a part of this body of believers that many of us belong. And Heavenly Father, may they realize the urgency and the need for their soul's salvation. We know, Heavenly Father, that sometimes it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But if we but trust and wait upon Thee, call upon Thee, believe and love Thee and serve Thee, we have no fear. We need not to fear death. We need not to fear what the day is coming. We need not to fear what man may do to us. We have no fear because we know fear. Perfect fear casteth out, or love casteth out the fear. And so, Father, help us to understand these truths that we find in your word, even in this afternoon hour. And we pray that you'll give our brother the utterance that would bring forth your message, and that we might sit for learning and listening and meditate on what the words might mean. So bless us now as we call upon thee. Be with the many, Father, that are unable to gather for various reasons. We know that there are those of old age and sick, hospital beds, those that perhaps had to go through surgery, those that are recovering from illnesses, ailments. Father, be with them and comfort each one that would call upon thee with a sincere and upright heart. So we ask now again, bless our being together, and we promise to give all praise and honor and glory to thee, our God, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Dear ones, the morning in the heading of my pew Bible, the chapter that we read, it identified it as a chapter on the judgment. And having read that chapter this morning, as I was sitting, I thought about another chapter on judgment. Is this one here, that a portion of it that we have read right now. And the preparedness that the Apostle Peter is, by the leading of the Spirit of God, is urging believers to be ready for this day which is approaching. A day which I believe every one of us here believes in, knows that it will come to pass, but I fear we don't really take it to heart, the meaning of what our Lord spoke and the leading of the Spirit of God, in which we are to be prepared for that. Yesterday, and as I was reading portions of Scripture, I read a verse that it made me think about it, where the Lord actually tells us to do something. He says, or else. Either do this or else. And that is found in Revelation. It says, remember from whence thou art fallen. He says, and repent, and do the first works. He says, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You know, when we give someone an instruction to do something, and if we follow that with a or else, that or else is not something good. It's either you follow these instructions or else, and the Lord says, or I'm going to come quickly, I'm going to remove your candlestick. So we're hearing and speaking of here of preparedness. And this morning we heard of those who are unbelievers, those who don't believe that Jesus exists, and so on. And as we meditated upon those things, I thought that really they have no they make no inroads into our lives. A professing unbeliever, we would never look to for guidance in anything spiritually. If he is an atheist, an atheist is not a danger unto me and you at all. What's an atheist? I don't believe. Well, we're going to dismiss him. The danger comes in that which the scripture is riddled with, warnings against false teachers, proclaiming that they love God, proclaiming that they know God. And so in this chapter that we read here, this is speaking of 10 virgins. And that in and of itself tells us that these 10 were believers. Five were wise, and five were foolish. We know the parable very well. And so as we read this here right now, how many of us really were startled in our soul, in our spirit, and just thought, there's five out of 10 that are being shut out. There's five out of 10 that had no oil in their vessels. There's five out of 10 that were waiting for the Lord. There's five out of 10 that heard, I know you not. So we know we don't fall into the category of atheists. And by that, in and of itself, we find way too much comfort into what category we place ourselves in. Believers. I'm a believer. And in that category, I have some kind of a comfort. And it's all false. Unless it's all found in Christ. Five virgins here who were professors of religion, who heard, I know you not, who heard, I know your works, repent or else I will come quickly. So these 10 virgins, they went forth to meet the bridegroom. They were proactive. They did something. And they went forth to meet the bridegroom, and it tells us five are wise and five are foolish, and they all took their lamps. Five took their lamps, and they took no oil with them. We know what a lamp is. A lamp is a light. And so the light, we know, is none other than Jesus Christ. And so he calls us to be lights. Now we have to consider what a light does. A light dispels darkness. A light shows the way to those who are in darkness, in sin, those who are without Christ. Even, yes, the professing believer who is without him. Only a light, the Word of God only, will show him the way. Nothing else can give him a path forward to eternity. To be inside of this feast as they go forth to meet the bridegroom for the wedding. And the oil is, we understand in Scripture that oil is always the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And so it is only the Holy Spirit who can take this word, life, the word which is life, the word which is power, the word which transforms lives. The word in and of itself, how can one read the word and another read the exact same word? One receives zero. Read it, but it moves nothing in them. It is only the Spirit of God who can make this word to do its work in us, that it would illuminate our souls and that we would go forth then as these lamps. The Spirit of God alone can bring life to this word in our hearts. And so oftentimes, dear ones, as we see here, these five virgins, foolish virgins, they are not allowing the working of the Spirit of God in their lives. In other words, the manifestation that the Spirit of God is alive in them and working in them mightily is not evident. Their vessels are empty. They all have their lamps. But five have nothing in their vessels. The Spirit of God has departed from them. When? When? When did he depart? In the book of Deuteronomy, we can find that God is saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, to love the Lord thy God with all thy might." That is the commandment. And dear ones, the five foolish virgins were careful to make sure that they had their lamps. They were careful to go to meet him. And while the bridegroom tarried, he didn't come. He didn't come when they expected him to. And when do I expect the Lord to return? When do you expect him? Honestly, when do we expect him? Do we not think about it? I know we think about it. And I know what we all expect. We're going forward. Sometime later. Not knowing that we can go today, leave here, and never make it home. We know that intellectually. Yeah, we know, of course. Anything can happen. But we really don't believe it will. And that's the five foolish virgins who did not allow the Spirit of God to work in their hearts, to light the lamp, the Word, that it would illuminate a Word, the Word of God in being professed from someone who is a full-blown hypocrite, has no power. And how can the Word have power unless it is only spoken as it is written? Because the Word itself is, in and of itself, is full of power because it is Christ, and it is full of love and direction and pointing to Jesus. And so if I speak anything that does not point to my Savior, if I'm using other methods, shock methods, dear ones, what false teachers use today is will rattle our minds. What they will use to try to shock people into believing, or they use methods in which the Lord never gave them to use. Preach the Word, the entire gospel. Don't hold anything out. Don't try to gain someone. Don't try to gain a neighbor by showing him, by removing parts of the gospel that might be an offense to him, because you haven't shown him the way. And so we are being asked to preach the gospel in its entirety. We know that the Pharisees were professors of religion. And what did Jesus say to them? You are of your father, the devil. He didn't say, well, you know, you're on the right path. You've come away, but now you need to just a little bit more. He said, your father's the devil. You know that when something happens to an unbeliever, something that is perhaps his life is in the balance. It always is, he just doesn't know it. But something happened that he's clinging on to life. And he cries out unto God. How come no one ever cries out to the devil? Devil, help me. The devil who gets all of my attention all day, every day, I live in full submission and obedience unto him. And when something happens, I don't say, Father, devil, help. No. But that's my father. If I'm in disobedience, he is my father. That's what Jesus says. You are of your father, the devil. And yet, no man will call unto the devil to help him. As we fully give our lives unto him. Why? Jesus says, if you're going to call upon me, you must obey me. If you're going to call upon me, if you're going to call out the name of the Lord Jesus, you have to depart from iniquity. You have to come into submission. We respond to his love. It is his love. And we simply are responding to him in submission. That's serving our Lord. And so the devil doesn't need us to call him Lord. And the Lord doesn't need us to call him Lord. If the heart isn't with it. The devil's quite content. We can see just by how the devil operates that he is quite content with simply you and I and the world and everyone that just simply obey him. Fall into line with him. You don't have to call him. Go ahead and call Jesus Lord. Go ahead. You're good. Call upon your Lord. Do whatever you want to do. Go to church. Just keep listening to me. He's quite content. Now that will show us what it means to call Jesus Lord. Why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and does not do the things that I have commanded? Why? So now we can understand by the devil's position, which we know it, the Lord's position, you're calling me Lord, but you don't do what I say. Why are you doing that? Your father is the devil. Go call on him. Go call on him or give me your heart. Don't give him your heart and me your praises. Don't give me your lips and you give him all the sacrificing. You give him full obedience, but you're going to tell me you love me. And you're going to pray to me when you need me. And that's what we have here. Five wise and five foolish. Five who loved and five who didn't. But, dear ones, they were deceived into believing that they did love. They were deceived into believing that what they're doing was enough. They were deceived into believing that their vessels, even though Jesus says that every, you know, he says it is appointed unto every man once to die and then the judgment. The judgment is are these vessels? The things that we have done, are they a manifestation of the Spirit of God working in us or not? I could do one work, you could do one work. It could be identical in nature. One the Lord recognizes, one the Lord turns his back to. So we have to say it cannot be works-based. These vessels aren't filled with our works, unless the work is a manifestation of the Spirit of God. And how can the manifestation of be that of the Spirit of God in my, how do I recognize, how do I know? You know, it tells us that we ourselves don't even know our own heart. It's desperately wicked. And that's why we all must be born again. And our nature has to be born again. Has to be newly born. And in this new nature, dear ones, when the Spirit of God operates, our vessels are full. Our lamps are burning brightly. The darkness is dispelled. It's not around me. I'm not grasping on the sin. You know, we had on Friday night a Bible study on Judas Iscariot. And when we look at the life of Judas, Judas never called Jesus Lord. He called him Master. What was going through his thought? What was in his mind? We know one thing and one thing alone, and that is Judas had given himself over to the devil. It's nothing that the Lord made him do. It's what he did. He chose. He gave himself over to the devil. And the works that the devil did in him were made manifest. We read in Deuteronomy, the law, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Jesus, when he talked to Peter, when he commissioned him, he only gave him one commandment, or asked him one question, I should say. Lovest thou me, Simon Peter? That's all he asked him. He didn't ask him anything else. He didn't give him a to-do list. He just asked him, do you love me? And I don't think that the question is any different for us today, dear one. The Lord is asking us, do you love me? And if we say yes, let's look at our hearts. Let's look at our lives. Let's do some self-examining in light of the Word. Open the Word and examine. Not what some false preacher is going to be preaching. Not what some easy way of living. To live for Christ means to die to self. Is there anything in my heart that serves self? That I'm both more focused on me than I am on you. And if that is the case, then dear ones, I have to. This is where repentance, trimming the lamps, I have to repent. Trim the lamps, repent, and come to Christ so that my lamp could burn brightly. The foolish said, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Dear ones, everything, he said, every man will give an answer for the things that he has done. You won't answer what I did, and I won't answer what you did. We're all going to answer. And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Bridegroom's here. And it says that they that were ready went in with who? With him. Jesus leads us through life, through death, and through the resurrection, and into eternity with him. Jesus is always in every aspect of our life and death. He is always with us. Why did David say, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me"? Where? In death. I got nothing to fear. And it says, and they went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. I've never read in Scripture anywhere where the door ever gets opened back up. The five foolish are not in the feast, and the door is shut forever. They weren't ready. Lord, Lord, open unto us. They can't open it. They can't come in. They can't now say, but look what I did. Your vessels are empty. I don't know you. Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Dear ones, the warning then ends. It says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So, he may come for me anytime. He may come for you anytime. The brother mentioned this morning, there's not everyone sees old age. What a blessing to live into your 80s and still be healthy, and 90s even. But dear ones, what a greater blessing to be called at any age and having been gone out to meet the bridegroom. Lamps are burning. Lamps are trimmed. Vessels are full of oil. We go out to meet him. That's where the blessing is. Because we will follow him. It says here, we'll go with him. Isn't that what we are focused on? Or we want our life to be focused on? So what is it that these five foolish virgins did to blot their name out of the book of the Lamb's book of life? What did they do? It doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us that they're evil people. It doesn't tell us that they murdered someone. It doesn't tell us that they were out fornicating. It doesn't tell us that they were out partying and drugged up and whatever. It doesn't tell us. It says they went out to meet him. But they lacked. They lacked in their life the evidence of the working of the Spirit of God in their life. And so does that mean now I'm going to say, oh, okay, I better get home and write a check to some organization that will help the needy. I better do that. It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is a transformation, willingness to submit unto the Lord. And in that submissive state, the Lord directs. And if it means emptying your checkbook, let it be that. If it means empty yourself for someone else, do that. Whatever it means, the Lord will direct you. He will guide you through that because you've submitted unto his lordship. Now when you call him Lord, he acknowledges you as a servant of his. He acknowledges you. And was it this morning, I think, that we read that, or was it in a different reading? It says, those who submit the Lord will exalt. He will lift us up. He will lift us up to the heights where we will never lack anything in this life. The Spirit-filled life, vessels full of the manifestation of the Spirit of God, lamps burning brightly. We are the lights of the world. What are we going to lack? When I can with my life point a lost soul to Jesus Christ, what more can I do in this life that would be regarded by the Lord Jesus than that? What more? Nothing. As a servant of His, I pointed to Jesus Christ. Dear ones, we don't have to fear the atheists. We don't have to fear that. But that's who we really want to point to and ridicule. No, dear ones, it's the false teachers. Jesus warns and warns and warns. The epistles are full of warnings of false teachers. Those who will paint Jesus Christ as someone different than the Word of God shows Him as. Why couldn't have Jesus just told these five bullets, oh, you know, I know, you know, you did come out. You did come out to meet me. You did have lamps, and you did. You identified with me. You identified as a believer. Maybe at work you even said, yeah, I'm a Christian, even though your works defy that completely. But, you know, I understand. You're weak. You're in the flesh. You're going to fail. It's okay. He didn't say that to them. Just like He didn't tell the rich young ruler, well, you know, I get it. You know, you're giving of your tithing. You're doing all these things. He just says, you lack one thing. And what that is a complete submission. When He said, sell everything that you have, what He told them is, give yourself over to me and let me direct you. And he left in sorrowful. And the Lord didn't chase him back or chase after him to bring him back. He told him what he must do. You either do it or your door is shut. That's it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be God. If he could judge like I and you can judge, then he wouldn't be God. He would be man. But he is God. He is just and he is holy and he is pure. And he is full of love and mercy and compassion. And he offers us himself and all the strength and all the power to do everything, every jot and every tittle that he has left us to do, he empowers us to do. We spoke as a little group again after Friday, and the thought came there is, as the disciples were told that they would, one of them has a devil, one of them will betray him, they all, knowing their weak state, said, is it I, is it I, is it I? And, dear ones, after the empowerment of the oil that we just read about, the anointing of the Spirit of God, never did we hear the apostle say, is it I? For me to die is gain. I die daily. I am ready. I have a blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. That's the confidence in the assurance of the Scripture of Jesus Christ that He gives us if we are in submission to Him. No more is it I. No such thing. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. I am dead, yet He lives in me. What am I going to say? Is it I then? I know my Savior lives. And so, dear ones, is that blessed assurance ours? Is it ours, or is it just a, you know, we read this and we dismiss the five foolish. Oh, wow, yeah, they were bad. They were a bad bunch. Yeah, you know, surely there was something, you know, big in their lives. Something they just didn't want to give up. Well, what is it? What is it that they exchanged? To hear a door shut or see a door that's shut with them on the outside. What did they exchange in their life for that moment? A moment that is full of regrets because they're saying, Lord, open, open. That's a life full of regrets. It has to be. Open. So what is it? Dear ones, in our lives, is there anything in our life that does not allow me to sleep peacefully? That does not allow me to say that when I die, that I will be with Jesus? We're going to say, well, that sounds a little, sounds like you might be a little fool of yourself. No, that sounds like someone who is full of the Spirit. That's what Paul was. He's full with the Spirit. And he was able to utter those words. That's why. And his life manifested that. The vessel was full of the manifestations of the Spirit of God. So when he said, the Spirit is in me, you couldn't say, no, it isn't. What about this? He couldn't say. You couldn't point to anything. You couldn't see anything. All you saw was the working of God in a man. The power that he gives, dear ones, how we rob ourselves when we allow minutia, meaningless things to overrule, overtake us. And yet, we're going to meet the bridegroom. Oh, yeah. Praise God. I'm going to meet him. Oops. Lord, open up. So, as we read of judgment this morning, this afternoon, as we read of the surety of judgment, as we read of the Lord's instructions, let's just ask ourselves the same question that Jesus is asking me and you, that he asked Peter: lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Three times. Lovest thou me? Amen.